Second Corinthians 4, 10:4. Second Corinthians 10:4.
For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal.
What have you got for carnal? Physical. Of the flesh.
So, whatever you want, brother. Worldly. Oh, not worldly. There it is. But mighty through God.
Is it toward God? Mighty to God. To the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen. What's the stronghold, brother? It's a city. To the pulling down of cities. A stronghold is always a city. Casting down what the city made out of. Imagination. An imagination, huh?
And every high thing that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God.
What is the knowledge of God?
Man, and our experience of Him as that knowledge.
Amen. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
And having them in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, He is ready to revenge the disobedience of the angel when your obedience is fulfilled.
You do look on the outward appearance. You're not going to anymore.
And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is full. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? No. If any man trust in himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we. Revelation 12.
All right, I'm just going to read a few verses along. No effort to make any real sense out of it. In verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and came to be delivered. Brothers, what we're going to read is the birth of the man child. And the man child is that which comes out of the church. And that man child has got to be the overcomer.
The church does predict the overcomer out of the church. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God, where? To His throne. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the world no more. He deceived the world no more. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony, and they wrought not their lives even unto them. There is, brother, a picture here of those in the church being in the heavenly and having cast Satan out of the heavenly, that he cannot live among them anymore. And they have the authority of God to rule on this earth. And the accuser of the brethren is cast down. I want to just go back just as simply as I can for a minute or two, so that we might see this in full context, and then get to where we're going to go. All right. Let's just forget all the other aspects. I would just say, concerning all the past comments we've made, a priest's food and a priest's garment is an indication that Jesus Christ is his everything. Jesus Christ is everything for a priest, nothing else. And the more he eats Christ within, the more Christ is expressed without, and the more the building is displayed. More there is a building of us when we eat and drink and read Christ and have him expressed outside of us. There is more and more building of us together as one corporate teacher. But now then, brothers, we come to do our ministry before the Lord. And I want to make this just as simple as I can. By the way, brother, you did this morning what I've been trying to express to you, brother. Here, it's simple. It's so simple. Just keep on, brother. Keep on. Learn to deal with the Word of God. But this morning, for simplicity's sake, I'm not going to mention that subject at all right? Okay. Let us see what God has done in preparing the priest to do what he has to do. God has two altars. And he also has the blood in two places on the altar. And God has fire in two places on the altar. So that God is ready to meet you anytime you need him. You may come to the outer places of prayer, and you may have a need. But you may come a little closer or further into prayer and have the same basic need in a deeper way. Praise the Lord, brother. Now, he's really in all three places. All right, praise the Lord. All right, on the outer altar, we come to an altar made of bronze where God's judgment is. There is a fire of the Lord, Holy Spirit, there to do the burning. And then there is the sacrifice. And then we come into the holy place, and there is the lampstand, there is the bread, and there is the incense altar that later for us, praise the Lord, get moved. I want to just introduce two or three little things that I had not introduced before and quickly pass the old. The oil in the lamp is crushed. Yesterday I mentioned to you about a sister coming to the Lord, asking the Lord for the Lord to deliver her from a nagging or a cross husband. But that's not light. Then we come and we get enlightened by the crushing of the situation. And the light of the Lord really shows us that God wants to deal with our nature. And the oil has to be a crushed oil in it. I want to say one other thing about this lamp. The lamp has a wick. That lamp is solid gold. There is much about this lamp that we have never seen that we must someday. It is solid beaten gold. I just don't ask. I'm sorry.
I'll be out of mark. We get them, huh? Good. All right. A beaten lamp of solid gold. I'm talking about the light on the lamp right now. I've never even mentioned to you what that lamp is, but it is a lamp set.
If you get this in garden crowd and you by now what the lamp is, it's still clear. The Lord tells us in Revelation what that lamp is. But anyway, the lampstand has a light. But brother, from time to time, and this is where we really need a priestly ministry among our brothers. We need some brothers who will know how to handle the light. The light from time to time has to be the wick. I'm sorry, not the light, the lamp. But the wick that burns the light has to be trimmed. Now, what is this? Here is the wick. This lamp, though it is solid beaten gold, the only thing in the holy place that is solid gold, it's got one little element to it. The wick is made out of loosely put together reeds, and a reed is always something of the man. It has to be cut from time to time. And the top of it gets fetty. Have you ever heard of snuffs? Yes. This is snuff up here. And it has to be trimmed off. Or rather, this is a picture of every once in a while we get old. Old. The light gets old. The wick gets old. And it needs to be cut and trimmed of the Lord.
And brothers, when you begin to sense oldness in the church, you need some brothers who are willing to be cut and dealt with, that the Lord will give them new light for the church and new life for the church.
You can't go on eating anything forever. You've got to have the freshness of the light. I'll tell you, brothers, in the morning, they cut the lamp, they cut the wick, in the evening, they pour it in the oil. So sometimes the oil is well, and sometimes the wick is well. So sometimes you got to pour in more oil, and sometimes you got to have something to burn with, brother. And I'm sure that they snuffed it out. They had the snuff differs. They cut it out for a moment and clipped it, and then they relit it off of the other fire. There were seven lamps on the candlestick burning. Yes, it was slipped off for a moment. And on whatever side is the bread.
and we don't have time to go into what the bread's made out of, but let us just say, here we really have the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as our bread to be eaten, and then the incense. The incense altar has the blood on it too, and the incense altar has the fire that you find on the outside. And now we have the incense, which is just Jesus Christ. And you put the incense on the fire that was covered by the blood, and the incense go up to heaven. You eat the bread, you light the lamp, you serve the incense upon the fire, and it goes up into the heaven. Now, I have at times said to you, you light the lamp, you eat the bread. At other times I've said, you eat the bread, that you lamp the light. Which do you do first? Oh, praise the Lord. First, you eat the bread. The record was that the table was given before the lamp was. And then the incense was given. The bread is eaten first. Now then, brother, as simply as we can, let us learn this morning how to get in the Holy of Holies. And then, after we get through with this, we're going to find out what to do when we get in there. All right, is the lamp lighted continually? Forever. Brother, it said, this shall be an ordinance forever. Right, brother, nonetheless, it has to be lit every morning. Every morning forever, it has to be lit. There is no record of what goes on here with the light. It just doesn't say. But all I know is that when we awake in the morning, our light is either on or out. This is the light of Christ. If you will read John 1, you will see every bit of it in it. I believe the discerning Jews could even see it. There was first the light, which is the bread. And then there was the light. And then there was, and he gave them authority to become the sons of God. There is certainly the authority. The light and the authority. They always come together. Yes, brother. Right, brother. After they ate the bread, the picture is that they had to have bread to get strong enough to light the lamp. And then they offered the incense up to the Lord.
I'm speaking now very individually. All of these principles can be applied later. You come very individually. All right, the priest comes, and he offers up the sacrifice to God with blood.
All right, brother, when you just get up in the morning and you come to the Lord, you deal with the Lord in the matter of your own sinfulness. I would say, brother, if you do not have a consciousness of that, then you don't need to deal with it. And if you do have a consciousness of it, deal with it. If you're not bothered, don't be bothered. Don't get under the pile if you're not under the pile. But, brother, last night, just before you went to bed, you and your wife had an awful argument. You and your roommate had a big squabble. And this morning, June's been coming here to Goleta telling us that we're to be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And no Christian ever did nor said what you said last night. And you know that there is one saint on earth who will ever make it. That the word of God promises for all men on earth except me. And that there is a special breed of people who get these kind of things, and I'm not one of those special breeds. Oh, there's a great diet. And then there's those men whom the Lord deals with in unique ways. But, Lord, certainly I am not one of these. Lord, I'm just so full of sinfulness and so on. All right, now, brother, you come to the Lord where the Lord is. And you deal with the Lord in your sinfulness. And whatever it is that's bothering you, you come there and you say, oh, Lord, yes, Lord. Lord, it's true. Lord, I confess it. Lord, I really need to be dealt with by thee. Lord, I come, though, in the position of the Son. The blood has been offered for me. In a minute, we're going to come to another place with his blood. It may be that sometime, I'm going to mention it happening at the second place. Sometimes it happens at the first place. Sometimes it happens at the same place. Sometimes it never happens. I'm not going to talk about those yet, but you're going to go in there, okay? You come and you deal with the sin you have that you are a rarely sinful person. You confess whatever needs to be confessed. You just deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. And then, brother, you go lower. Sometimes there's got to be a real battle here. But anyway, we'll come to that. I'm going to put the Battle of the Thing of Spades. Just for fun, okay? All right. Now then, brother, open the Word of God. I'm speaking about you in the morning. Open the Word of God. And do not use your mind and do not live in your emotion. All right, let's say this morning, you're just going to read. I want to make this potent. You're just going to read the Word of God. All right, brother, you are now reading the Scripture. Are you going to read it?
Just really come so, in a relaxed sense to the Word of God.
Brother, just read the Word of God with an amen. Every time you shut up, you can just be sure you're thinking.
And you're applying yourself in that. Oh, Lord, there are wicked people who are going to get caught in the hell.
You know, I have listened to some of the brothers lately coming to exercise their spirit and open themselves to the Lord. And I hear, Lord,
Lord, what are you doing that for? It's not your hair.
You got the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're real with these matters. Go on. And stop. Stop looking at yourself this way. All right, brother. Now then, you're just taking a word and you're just eating it. Oh, every man of faith. Oh, my. How brave you are.
You're just dealing with it so softly, so gently, so easy. And you've given up getting a bachelor's degree in theology. And you just, Lord. Amen. And then you get the light, brother.
If you want to pray, pray. I would say, brother, pray to the Lord. Immediately, after 5 or 10 minutes of reading the Scripture and just saying something to the Lord, exercising your spirit before the Lord, that you might eat the Word, this is the eating of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will sense
an enlightenment. The light of the candle will grow. You will scent light. Then the light that you have, you offer it to the Lord.
You just offer it to the Lord. And brother, you offer it to the Lord so quickly and so livingly, and you offer it out of the exercise of your spirit. Then, brothers, I believe while you're offering what you have, the light to the Lord, you will sense that you have come into the Lord's presence. And brother, just keep on. Whatever sense you have, then pray with that sense. Just now begin to pray. Just now begin to pray. Oh, Lord, praise thy name. Well, maybe you came with a very deliberate purpose of praying about something. But now that you have really touched the Lord Jesus, don't give in to that if that is not the sense. Don't be sitting there saying, now I've got into the Lord's presence, I'm going to bring this. Would do if you still have the sense. But it may be you just have the sense of the Lord to praise Him. Maybe you have the sense of the Lord to thank Him for His church. Maybe you just want to praise the Lord for the position you have in Christ. Maybe you do want to offer up a brother to the Lord. Whatever sense you've got, offer it, brother. I believe at this point, this evening, we shall see. You will have a knowing of what to pray. You will have a knowing of what to pray with. And just offer this to the Lord. All right, brothers, I cannot make it any more simple than that. You come to the outer altar. You deal with the blood or with your symptom. You come in and you exercise your spirit to eat the Word of God. You exercise your spirit to eat. Oh, Lord. Amen, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that neat? Wonderful, Lord. Oh, Lord, that's great. Oh, Lord. Oh, wonderful, Lord. Oh, I never saw it before, Lord. Praise thy name, Lord. Amen, Lord. And you're just reading and talking and talking and reading. But you're just exercising your spirit. That's all you're doing to read. And you're doing it so sweetly. Brothers, listen, let me just say to you this, that there is a meal offering offered out on the outer court. And it's a coarse meal. It's real, real coarse. And sometimes, brother, you got to fight at the altar with coarseness. At the altar with coarseness. But when you get into the inner place and into the holy place and then into the holy of holies,
The incense you have is ground to a fine, fine, fine powder, and it is a very sweet thing you offer up to the Lord.
Very sweet. All right, anyway, you are just eating and praying, eating and exercising to eat the word and exercising your spirit to eat it. That's the only way you can take the word of God, is by eating it and exercising your spirit, not your mind. Then you have light. And whatever you have is light, you just offer it to the Lord. And you just offer it some more and some more and some more. And you had a sense you're in the Lord's presence. Then, brother, begin to pray. Then, brother, begin to pray. And you'll have a sense of what to pray with. And you'll be praying with your spirit and in spirit. And in your spirit and in the Lord's spirit. Okay. Yes. All right, brother. We have to have some dealing first. Almost always. You will have a sense if you can open the word and just begin to pray. But you have to have some dealings. You really do? The lamp wick may have to be trimmed. Lord, I've just been eating and feeding over the same things today. Lord, I need newness. Lord, I'm old. I deal with the new. Give me the newness of thee, Lord. Lord, I feel so sinful. Lord, I have something against my brother. Lord, deal with me. Oh, Lord, deal with this matter. Oh, Lord, I had just had such a bitter attitude or so. And now I want to come to the main thing, little brother, that I believe that binds us in just a second. But do you see the principle? I wish that everyone here sees the principle. But brother, always, each day before the altar was used, it had to be covered with blood. Every day the altar had to be covered with blood. Oh, but brother, I said this morning, we talked about those five offerings as food. And I said, let us put that behind us. That was first a picture of you as a priest. Whatever you offer to the Lord is Jesus Christ. But now I want to talk about how a person goes into the Holy of Holies. We are talking now not of the offering, but we are talking about a trip into the Holy of Holies. Now, this is done a certain way. I am only saying the other was given to you earlier this week as a picture that whatever you offer to the Lord, it must be Christ. Whatever you take inside of you, it is Christ. And then whatever comes out of you is the expression of that. And the more this is done, the more there is the building. But now then, brother, we are talking about when the priest goes into the Holy of Holies, that the priest himself, let's take his daily ribbing. Just forget about our treatment. The daily ribbing of a priest, both what he ate, what he offered, what he wore, and his building was Jesus Christ. So, brother, as a priest, Christ must be your everything. That's his daily sitting. That is all this was presented as to us today, was the daily living of the priest. Would you please separate in your mind that there is the daily living of the priest, the daily living all day long as Jesus Christ?
I will come back to this later this week. We only have today and tomorrow. I will come back to this. But right now, I would like to say, brother, here is how a priest got to the Holy of Holies. Now then, brother, actually none of the offerings can be ours unless we do them in the Holy of Holies. Do you not realize, brother, that you can't really eat Christ except by your spirit? You see? And you cannot wear Christ except by the exercise of your spirit. So let us simply this morning learn how a priest got into the Holy of Holies. Okay. And he comes, and the first thing he does is he deals with blood on the outer altar. This is his entrance. Now then, he now comes into the holy place and he deals with bread, then with light, then with incense. Brother, I have tried to show you three things this week. The first one is a priest living. Secondly, the type of the priest or the Aaronic priest and the Melchizedekian priest. The third thing I am presenting to you now is how the priest got into the Holy of Holies. Brother, when you get into the Holy of Holies, Christ will be many things to you. He may be a cereal offering, a sin offering, a trespass offering, a heave offering, whatever he is. I assure you that whatever Christ is to you, Christ is really for you only deep within. We must first learn how to be in spirit. Then we can offer up these many, many offerings in a real living way. It may be that at the outer place, a very outer court, you will deal with any one of these offerings in order to get in. You may have to deal with a sin offering, the trespass offering, with a meal offering, a burnt offering, just to begin to get in. But it will be always with the shedding of blood. But brother, I do not want to dwell at the outer court right now. All right, I wish to make it clear. We have first a picture of the daily living of the priest. The priest lives by the sin offering, the trespass offering, the meal offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. Now then, brother, you may come to Jesus Christ this morning and have to deal with them in the matter of the peace offering. If you do, you will have to offer the Lord Jesus Christ up as your peace. And then you will have the shedding of blood with this offering. You are still in the outer court. You must get in and touch the Lord Jesus Christ.
Some way you must still get in to him and touch him deeply in this matter.
And I am simply saying to you that your real reality of being this will be in spirit. Whatever real offering you made, you may deal with him here with it, with the blood, but you will make the real touch of the Lord in peace there. Let us just concentrate this morning that whatever you come to the Lord about, it has to be with his blood. With the offering, there is the blood. Then the blood for our sakes is not only at the outer plate, it is also in the holy place. And praise the Lord, it is in the Holy of Holies. But I assure you, brothers, when you are in the Holy of Holies, once you get there, brother, you will never even be conscious of the blood. You really won't, unless you come there to pray him for it. Now that you might do. But you will not have a conscious need of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked the other night about a veil, but I want to talk with you, brothers, this morning about something so practical. You must get into the Holy of Holies, right? Let me ask you, what is in the Holy of Holies? The Lord? What else?
The hidden man is there. What else is there? Was the mercy seat of it? I am not going to agree with you.
It is. Yeah. And the Old Testament is there.
There are some things that changed. The mercy seat has changed.
There's a throne in there now.
Oh, let me just say that. Do you think the devil wants you in there, brother?
That is the last place under heaven. If he knows that there are a group of people on this earth who are living in the spirit, that today that the throne room is in the spirit, and if a group of people ever get in there and find out the throne is there, he has got problem. Where is the throne of God? That's correct. It is in the heavenly.
Is that the only thing to do? Do you remember Jacob's ladder? Well, anything that's in heaven, God can bring earth. And he has planted the other end of that ladder right in the middle of your spirit. And the mercy seat has become the very throne of God. If you will read Hebrews again with spiritual eyes, you will read a marvelous thing, a fantastically marvelous thing. You will read, be bold to enter into the Holy of Holies, that you might find grace and mercy in time of trouble, that you might have boldness to enter into the throne. Before the throne. That's what it says, before the throne. And a moment ago, it was talking about the mercy seat. And then it says, and you enter in before the throne. Now, is that throne in heaven or in you?
If you'll go to Revelation,
is it in you or is it in heaven?
The very top of the city. Brother, I can't tell you where it is.
And out of it,
but I can tell you how it is located.
That feeds the Holy
Spirit. Where it is. It is far above all.
Brother, this is the grace and mercy that comes from it.
It is
far. But brother, it is not only grace and mercy that we have, not only the water. You get into the Holy of Holies and you get water, but that's not all you get. Now then, brothers, there is within every one,
there is a sin of unworthiness. 2 Corinthians says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations of every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. It has exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing unto captivity every thought. Every thought is brought captive to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness, he has a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? That's number one. Number two, we have a picture of Satan being cast down in Revelation 12 by the prayers of the saint, that he is cast down because the overcomers have gone to the throne of God. He is cast down. You have lived till this hour with a sense of your unworthiness, a sense of condemnation, a sense of not having the right to come to the Lord. When you come in the morning every day, every day, every day, you wake up early in the morning and you open the Word and you feel condemned. Oh, Adam raises up to condemn you. And the earth seems to raise up to condemn you. Your teacher condemns you. You feel condemned even by the brothers and sisters. You feel that you are unworthy. Do you not have a sense of, oh, I don't know if I should this, or I should that? Then the brothers asked me yesterday, Dean, am I offering up strange fire? No, you're not offering up strange fire. This is not a board covers. This is not a group of people who offer up strange fire to God. This is a group of brothers and sisters whose heart are tender toward God, who are simply trying to learn how to deal with holy men. Brother, listen, I know what it means to be condemned. I take first place in all the ranks of all of you. I know why you feel condemned. You feel condemned because you got a mom and a dad. That's one of you. When you was a little boy, a little girl, Tony, don't do that. And you grew up, your big brother, he always could do something.
I never will be able to do anything.
Oh, you got a little brother. You couldn't pass third grade. He could pass third grade. He was cute and sweet. And everybody would always come and say, oh, Mary is so cute and sweet. Or Billy is so cute and sweet.
What's that over there?
And you were just, you know, and then one day you overheard something you shouldn't have overheard.
Honey, I don't know what we're going to do with Bobby. I've never seen a kid like that.
Was this, am I telling you the truth? Yeah. And so you grew up feeling so unworthy, and you have felt condemned. Deep inside of you, you just don't feel like you're as worthy as anybody. And then one day you're in the meeting and you're walking along and there's two brothers talking. Here, brother, come up here. We're talking. You two are talking. You know, and they're praising the Lord. And you just happen to walk by. And as you walk by, you don't even look. You have a feeling their voices drop just a little bit. And you walk on. I wonder if they're talking about me. Yeah. All right, now then, sit down, brother. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you carry this same sense with you to prayer. Then you get a little bit growner. And oh, all the report cards came in this week. FCDB, FFCD.
And oh, I'm so mentally dumb. I'm not very smart.
And you come into the meeting, and oh, I feel so unworthy. Oh, all these other brothers and sisters have been chosen of the Lord, but I got in here by a fluke. All right, then, brother, you come before the Lord, and oh, you've been so mean to your wife. And you really feel, Lord, of all the saints on earth that ever got married, I'm the biggest whopper's a husband that ever lived. And the dear wife, she won't even come to the Word of God because she knows she is an utter, total a failure, and she's living completely in her emotions. And then you come to me. Oh, Brother G, I'm just not sure, but Brother, may I talk to you, Brother? No. Brother, I like your tone.
I don't know how to express this, but, you know, I just feel like I'm not, and, you know, I feel like I can't, and I feel like, but, you know, I've got some real questions, and I've got some doubt, and I just don't know about
every one of you right at this moment. You think you're a little more than anybody else in this room. You do. And what is all this? Is this mama? Is this daddy?
Is this your own personality? Is it because you were the oldest son or the youngest son? Let me tell you something. I was the youngest son. No, I was the youngest son, and I went around all the time saying, boy, this business of being the oldest is the greatest, and this business of being the youngest, this is for a bird. I don't want that. Then I got two daughters. Oh, now I got an older, And my older daughter goes around saying, oh, I wish I was the younger. And I got a younger saying, oh, I wish I were the older. I don't care where you get in the lineage of your home. You are going to be a double mess. And everybody in here feels that they are a mess. Brother, where does it come from? You said it. Where does it come from? This is Satan's effort to keep you out of the throne room of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has said to you, he is a liar. And he is not only a liar, he is the father of all lies. And brother, that is a lie. You are a child of God forgiven. That's not all. You're more than a child of God. You are a priest of God. You're more than a priest of God. You are the true Israel of God. And the word Israel means prince of God. You get where you belong. You walk in the court of the king, and no prince has got any business having an inferiority complex. Brother, in the morning, you stop your condemnation. Don't give an inch to that. Don't give an inch to your sin. Don't give an inch to your failure. You come before the Lord, and you take the blood, and you let that blood cover you, and you address Satan and faith. Satan, you're a liar. You have the heritage of the throne room of God, and the accuser of the brethren was cast down. I will not listen to your lies again. I'm going to exercise my spirit. I'm going to take the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to come boldly into the throne room of God. I am a prince of God. You're a prince of this world. I'm a prince of God. You're a prince of this earth. I'm a prince of heaven. Get him. Get him. You stand there and fight him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Then go into the throne room and do what you have a right to do in the throne room. To go into that room and live in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and exercise power and dominion over the evil one.